Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, welcome. If you felt a little shaken lately with the maelstrom of bad news streaming across the world, my first guest is here to boost you. He's one of Conversations Live's most popular guests. I received a ton of email last time Pete Siegel was here, and we're pleased to have him back today. Coming later in the hour, my second guest was a successful investment banker and an accomplished entrepreneur until he had his own epiphany. He left Wall Street, became a minister, and now spends his time sharing the secrets of spiritual and financial abundance. He's the author of Soul Currency and will be joining us in the second part of today's show. But first, Pete Siegel, the dynamic Pete Siegel, is an acclaimed personal development coach and veteran peak performance expert. He's made many, many media appearances and has been published in over 50 magazines. And in addition, he's written and produced 25 self-help books, I'm guessing probably more than that now, and CD programs. And he's joining us today to share how we can find the confidence to weather the storm. Life just got tougher, he says, and so must you. Pete Siegel, welcome.
Vicki, it's great to be here with you again. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Despite everything, right?
Yep.
So I wanted to start off by just saying, you know, we talked about confidence last time you were on the show. We're going to look at it a little differently today because we're having all this maelstrom of activity hitting us through the media that we can't control. We have no control over that, but we ultimately have to live with it. So, you know, life is becoming more demanding. You say we have to become tougher, and we certainly don't want to allow others to pull us down. But I think one of the reasons people lose their confidence often is they get tired of being responsible for other people and tired of having to tough it out. What do you think of that?
Well, the thing is this. Being responsible for others, if you're a parent with children, you don't have a choice. You have children, you have to feed them, clothe them, love them, teach them, be their inspiration, their guidance force, and you have to be their developmental catalyst and impetus. There's no way around that because you're a parent and they're your children. When it comes to things beyond that, it has to be a choice. It may be other family members, it may be friends, it may be a social network. But you have to decide how much of your life energy will you continue to invest in the evolvement and sustenance of others. The way I give an example is, you know, my mother used to be into house plants ever since I was a little kid. We used to have like the Amazon rainforest in our home. And on Tuesdays and Thursdays, Tuesdays and Fridays would be watering day, and she would fill up the watering can. And, you know, she would just lovingly, because she loved the plants, and she would talk to them that like they were people. And they would, and these plants would thrive. All the other people from the neighborhood would come over and say, "What kind of special plant food do you use?" And she would say, "No, I just love them the way I love everything, the way I love people." But she would fill the watering can and go from plant to plant to plant and water all the plants until there was no more water left in the can. And that image and that metaphor stuck with me because people are like that emotionally, Vicki, aren't they?
Yeah.
They'll continue to water the trees or the plants of everyone else, and then there's no more water left in the can. But what of those plants are watering you back?
Very true.
And so if you're going to water other people's plants, folks, at least leave enough water in the can to water your own.
Yeah. You say that most of us don't even, we're not even aware of the power and the resiliency that we hold within us. How do we start becoming aware of that, Pete?
Okay, that's a great question. And let me answer it this way. Think about all of the problems and dilemmas, physical ailments, physical sickness, negatives, downturns, challenges, oppressions, and life encumbrances that you've experienced since you were a little kid that you've had to, in some way, make it through, make it over, around, under, above, to get to where you currently are right now. Think about all the things, literally, collectively, that you've had to go through to get where you are right now. How did you get here? How are you able to weather these storms? How are you able to deal with these things so definitively and decisively? And how were you able to get where you are right now? So if you think about all the things that you've been through, all the things that you had to endure and quote-unquote suffer through and learn through and advance through and evolve through to get to where you are now, you have to look at that in terms of there's a power, an ability, a resiliency, literally a capacity for efficiency and personal success that is far greater than usually you think about, usually you give yourself credit for, or usually you're even aware of. Now, if you think about what you're going through right now, and you compare that to all the things collectively that you've endured and suffered and struggled through in your life to get to where you are right now, what you're going through right now is nothing compared to what you've been through to get to where you are right now. So the first thing that you have to realize is that's the power that you have. And if you apply yourself with confidence and faith, and I don't mean to sugarcoat this, I know it's difficult, I know it's not as easy as you'd like it to be, but there's no other choice that you have. You will either become proactive and intervene in your own situation right now, or you'll get sucked under and pulled under because of the way the media and the way other people talk about it and what you see happening, and then your mind begins to create negative scenarios. Look at the strength and resiliency and power you have to bounce back, to endure, to overcome, and to succeed, and to prevail, and to advance, to get where you are now, folks. Take that power. Invest yourself in embracing that power upon awakening each day, and take that part of yourself out into life. Then, that's how you start to make life say yes to you.
Now, last time I talked with you, Pete, I had a lot of emails and calls, and one email and one call on the same topic, different people. They'd both been victims of, one was victim of a sexual abuse crime, one was victim of a physical abuse crime,
right.
Lost all confidence, fearful of everything,
right.
And said, yeah, that's great. It sounds great, but it's much harder to implement, especially if you've been through something like that.
Well, yes, it is, because sexual abuse as a child is probably the most emotionally crippling thing that can happen to you. Physical abuse is, I'd rather have physical abuse if I had the choice, because that's a pain for a specific time period, and then you're past it. But unfortunately, I was a victim of physical abuse growing up. I had a mother who used to slap me in the face and yell at me incessantly, year after year after year, and then you grow to, with sexual abuse, you grow to mistrust humanity and you grow to protect yourself. And there's an unconscious presumption that that's the intent of the person who would want to have sex with me, to abuse me. And so that kind of issue needs hypnotherapy to deal with, so that you can begin to disconnect the emotional wires that are connected to that unfortunate experience and begin to reclaim adult capacities for reason, logic, strength, ability, and capacity for excellence and efficiency, so that you can begin to understand that what you were then, you're not now, and you have different choices. You can fight back. You can speak up, act up, stand up. And so it's not as easy for people like that, but it's not entirely impossible, tough, hard, or impractical, or improbable. They can begin to make changes just as definitively as everyone else can. You have to understand, we are all quote-unquote victims in some way, which means we are the extensions of the mentalities of those who raised us, which sometimes on the extreme end are the kinds you just described, the abusive kinds, and on the other end are we tried the best we can, we did the best we knew how, and now it's up to you. But you still have to play, fill in the gaps, develop yourself, become proactive, self-tailored, self-defined, and self-engineered. That's your responsibility. And you can do that. You can do it incredibly powerfully and successfully. You don't have to let what happened in the past determine who you are now or what you can be in the future. You can make a new choice and you can make a new decision beginning right now.
A lot of it is very similar to what's going on right now. It's just out of your control. That situation was out of your control, and this situation with the financial market and the political situation right now, it's all out of our control ultimately, right?
I don't know. I don't agree with that. I mean, out of our control means you know, the financial situation. Here, one of the Pete Siegel motivational quotes from the, I think, 3800 that I developed in seven different categories says, "Let whatever goes on around you go on around you. Mm-hmm. Let whatever goes on inside you be always your choice." Now, you can't control what happens to investment banks. You can't control Republican greed. You can't control the CEOs of these companies at shareholders' expenses, lining their pockets and then claiming, you know, bankruptcy. Now they're starting to dole out that, you know, $125 billion of the $700 billion to the banks. And I don't see anything really going to get done. You can't control that. But what you can control is what you can do to stimulate income, to stimulate revenue, to stimulate personal profit, personal advance, emotional strength, personal confidence. Those are things you can control. The things you can't control, stop trying to. But don't get sucked into worry, folks. Because, in other words, you look, I see people putting in the gas into their cars every day. You know, the bakery I go to for coffee in the morning, people still go in there to buy pastries and bread. And the restaurants I go to, people are still eating out. I mean, I don't see life stopping. I see it becoming more challenging. But you have to understand, let me refer back to that initial example for a second, Vicky. Because when you understand the power that you have to have overcome and endured all that you have to get to where you are now, think of yourself in terms of, I can, I will, I must right now, and I've got the capacity to make sure that I must, and that I will, and that I do. That's a truism for everyone listening right now. You may not have related to it because you never really tried it on for size. You never really related to yourself. But now you have to begin to do things for yourself that you really never had to do before. You have to become more self-reliant. And understanding the power you have in the way I'm describing it, that certainly is an incredible first step.
Right. That's the way I look at it. I look at, there are certain things you can't control, but what can I influence?
Yes.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Pete Siegel. Please stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org.
You know how you say to yourself, someday I'm going to write a book? Well, now's your chance. National Novel Writing Month begins November 1st, and Vicky's managed to snag the NaNoWriMo founder to tell us how you can participate. NaNoWriMo brings thousands of professionals and amateur writers together from all over the world. Participate in NaNoWriMo, and maybe next year you'll be promoting your own book on radio shows across the country. Tune in to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair next Monday at noon to kick off National Novel Writing Month.
Commune with the Pop Oracle on the Radio 8 Ball Show. I'm Andras Jones, the host of the Radio 8 Ball Show, where we answer your questions by picking songs at random and interpreting them as the answers, like picking musical tarot cards. That's the Radio 8 Ball Show on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Don't miss the Radio 8 Ball Show, Fridays at noon, right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Open your ears, open your heart, open your mind. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. My guest is Pete Siegel. We're talking today about having the confidence to weather the storm. Pete says life just became tougher, and so must you. Right, Pete?
Absolutely. You've got to step up into being more proactive, more emotionally strong, and more decisive, and more individually life-advancing in a way that you never had to before. Because there's such... The things that you used to have and the things that you're used to experiencing and are accustomed to are being whittled down, including your bank account, including your peace of mind, your stress level is going up, all of the things that are occurring from the gas prices when they started to skyrocket, the soaring health care costs, housing market just spiraling out of control, people losing their homes because of foreclosure. I mean, these are things that never even dawned on people that would even be issues in their lives before. And so because it is, you have to bring a new, stronger, more proactive part of yourself into your daily affairs.
Right. I was telling you, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but I was actually weathering my own storm as well this weekend with my dog going into emergency care, and we weren't sure if he was going to make it through the night.
Right.
And so what would you have told me to do in that situation? Because we've got all this external stuff going on, but our lives don't stop and our lives aren't perfect. And vice versa, our lives aren't perfect and we still have to deal with all this other stuff going on outside.
As long as you knew that you were getting it the best medical attention you could, you had to have faith that that dog is part of your life and therefore it's there. Is it a male or a female?
He's male.
Okay, a male dog, he's there for a reason and it's not time for him to leave yet and it's not time for you to let him go yet. And so he went through a temporary phase. That's the way you have to look at it. It's temporary. It's not the end of the road. It looked like it was when you saw him vomiting and convulsing and say, "Oh my God, what happened?" Who knew? Maybe outside he saw something and he picked it up in his mouth and he ate it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows why? That's probably what I think might have happened. But now he's been given the best medical care that he can. And the likelihood is he'll return back to normal and you'll have your dog all the way back again. You see, the main thing I want to tell you is don't throw the towel in terms of ultimacy. So many people do that. They see an initial sign that would indicate a problem. And instead of just saying, okay, here's where it is right now, here's what I believe can happen, here's what I believe will happen, they just automatically let the sled run down the hill in terms of, well, if this has happened, then it means that this, and this will happen. And so an unescapable fate is already structured in their minds before it's even established as such. Why use your imagination that way when you could just as easily say, this is serious, and obviously this is not what I expected, but let's see what happened. A quick note on that, and I'll tell you why this works. Years ago, when before computers, yes, there was a time before computers, folks, we used to have mail order marketing space ads in the magazine where you'd clip out a coupon and send a check in. And sometimes I would get, you know, attorneys have a specific looking type font that they use for their letterhead and their envelopes, and I would get, you know, an envelope from a law firm. And I would all the time assume, oh, no, now what the problem? And basically, all they were guys, people ordering the hypnosis tapes I had back then. And so I stopped making things, you know, this sort of imaginative, inescapable negative because there was an initial thing that happened. And I think, Vicki, right now that would be the best way you could cope and endure with this because you'll get your dog back, he'll be healthy, and you'll have that part of your life safe and sound once again.
There you go, and I have confidence in that piece.
Good. Yeah, I can tell you do. And you know what? Let that confidence influence your images, your thoughts, and your presumptions now. And that's the way you'll stay emotionally strong throughout this whole ordeal.
Right. Good advice. You say there are three keys to confidence during crunch time. And the first key is to decide which part of yourself you'll bring into the day. And
Right. You
kind of touched on that a little. I actually saw a great quote the other day. It says, worry, and I can't remember exactly, but it was something like, worry is just a loop of negative self-talk.
Okay.
So you said, choose which part of yourself you'll bring into your day right from the get-go.
Right. Now, what that means is, again, let me refer back, because you really have to understand the time that you were sick and in the hospital, you pulled through that, the time that you had an accident and you broke a leg or had some kind of physical injury, you pulled through that, the time where you got laid off from your job and you had to endure the unemployment lines and look on the search engines and monster.com or whatever else to find another job and endure with that, you did. The time where you got laid off because your company downsized or outsourced to a different country, and you didn't know where your next paycheck or your next meal from. You found a way to get support from family and friends while you endured that ordeal and you made it through that. The time when you had negative experiences and fights with your neighbors, with your friends, you had to go in school because you were afraid of the school bully. You had situations that you just didn't know how you were going to deal with when they were happening to you, but some way, somehow, and in some manner you did. Didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Or else you wouldn't be listening to the Vicky St. Clair show right now because you wouldn't be around.
True.
So think about that strength and that power that you have right now. Well, I don't know how I made it through this. I don't know what I did to make it through that. I don't know what I did to enable myself to be strong and efficient and to rebound and to become more proactive and to become more confident and powerful because of it, wiser, stronger, better, more experienced, more accomplished because of it. Well, think about that right now, folks. And before you get out of bed and walk out your door tomorrow, or even today before you walk out your door, think about what part of yourself are you going to bring into the game of life? The part that worries, hopes, wishes, fantasizes, really thinks that things outside of you have to change so that things that you were accustomed to having can become reinstated? Or the part that's strong, resilient, tough, that can make it through, that says, here's something I now need to do, and there's something that I will do, and then you go and do it. Someone that I know, one of our customers at IncredibleChange.com, called me, and they said they use the Building Super Confidence program, and here is their story. Let me briefly give this to you. You know, it was a guy, 37 years old, and he lived at home with his mother, and she took sick one night, but he lived in, what was the name of this town in Minnesota? I forget the name of it, but it was a cold, wintry night, icy roads, and she needed this medication. And the, you know, the 24-hour pharmacy was probably a 15 to 20-minute drive away, and it was blustery winds, freezing temperatures, icy roads, but she needed that medication. And so he used one of the strategies from that book, and he got into the zone. He got into his car, and as treacherous as the drive was, as life-threatening as it potentially could have been through the dead of night and the intense cold and iciness of the roads, he moved along the pathway to get to the 24-hour pharmacy to get the medication that was needed and returned home so that she could take it. Now, that showed a level of decisiveness that, look at it as a metaphor, folks. What's your icy road that you're driving on right now? What's your thing that you need to get done, that if you don't do it, it won't get done, and you'll suffer, and you'll bemoan your fate, and you'll feel a victim of circumstance, and you'll feel that there are things beyond you and out of your control that you can't do anything about, so you'll hope and wait and wish and dream until life changes so that you can too? Take a deep breath and think, really think right now about if you use that part of yourself that I've been describing, what kind of incredible, decisive, almost miraculous changes would you be able to begin to produce in your life starting right now? And that, perhaps, is the most important key for you to use to begin to engage life in a way that continues to produce the results that you really want to experience.
The second key to confidence during crunch time is to activate the feeling of competency and capability within you, which, again, we've lightly touched on. Now, isn't it important when you are feeling vulnerable, as we all do, to listen to those kind of CDs or tapes over and over and over again to fill your head with that good, positive stuff?
Well, at IncredibleChange.com, I have a program called Building Super Confidence, which is a book and CD program, which will teach you how to do that. A very good and quick way to do it right now is to recall specific memories in your life when you were the embodiment of decisive, invincible confidence, when the responsibility of action squarely rested on your shoulders and you didn't back down. You said, I have to do this, I'll go ahead and do this, even though I may feel awkward. I may feel somewhat unprepared. I may feel even threatened by it. I have to do it, so I will now decide to get into the zone, and I will start to act. And as you began to act, that strength began to strengthen even more within you, became a fueling mechanism driving you to generate excellence and efficiency, which in some way handled the situation effectively so that you could move through it and onto the other side of it. So think about those memories. In fact, the very last time when you were the embodiment of that kind of confidence, when you said something that you never had before or did something that surprised even yourself and the people that you were around, the people that you were with, or you achieved and produced a result that was so far beyond what you normally would, think about what you thought then, what you felt then, and how you saw yourself then. Very important, what you thought then, what you said to yourself then, and how you saw yourself then, and start to do that right now. That same feeling will become activated, and then you can have emotional power to move through the day, to move through the week, to move through your life. Instead of letting yourself be sometimes weak, sometimes inefficient, you can always be more decisive and more commanding than you are right now. And think about those memories, folks. That's a quick way to get that feeling to flow for you right now.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point, Pete. What if you've never got to that point, though? What if, you know, you may not have got to that point because you're, you know, don't have much experience in life, or you've led a very sheltered life, or you've just never, ever had that confidence?
Okay, and then you do what I call the Superman / Superwoman strategy, which is you create a time in your life. If I were this kind of confidence, if I had this kind of feeling, what would that look like? What would that feel like? And what would that entail? If you've never been through an experience such, or never had a memory where you generated real decisive confidence, which the likelihood is you have numerous times, and it's there if you'll but look for it, you'll find it. And if you really feel, as Vicky just related, that you never did, then you have to create one. If I were the embodiment of, if I were Superman or if I was Superwoman, what would I think? What would I feel? What would I imagine? How would I see myself? And what then would I naturally do? And make that so decisive and so real. Yeah, but Pete, I've never done it before. I don't know if I can do it. My response is, yeah, but at one time you never walked before. And then you stood up and you took some steps and you fell back down. But did you stay down? No, you got back up and you walked. At one time you didn't know how to ride a two-wheel bicycle. But then you may have been wobbly and shaky and all over the place. I fell and slammed my face into a tree. Luckily, my father said, I think the joy of him mastering this will be more important than the pain he's going to experience. And he put me right back up, and with a bleeding face and bleeding eye, I said, I was so excited. I went home. I couldn't wait to tell my mother. And she's like, oh, my God, what did you do to yourself? Okay, and at one point, you couldn't write your name. At one point, you couldn't tie your shoes. At one point, you couldn't cook food. At one point, you couldn't drive a car. But these things didn't stop you. So what part of yourself did you bring into the game then that enabled you to learn and endure and grow and master these things to a degree to where they become second nature? You don't think about walking or driving or tying your shoes or cooking your food or dressing yourself or writing your name or reading a book now. You just do it. And so that's a good way to look at life. Just do it, just like the Nike commercial says. Get into the zone where you understand that I am going to become a big part of me, the part I call the maximum you, the part that knows how to do things, can do things, and has demonstrated brilliant proficiency throughout your entire life. Connect with that part right now. Hear my voice. Do it now, right now, and feel that strength. That's it. Feel that strength and that empowerment that comes from saying, you know what, I can do these things. It's real, folks, because you couldn't feel it if it wasn't real, and really you, and really within you now. Feel that, embrace that, activate it, unite with it, let it freely flow through and move you out into your today.
Are you feeling it?
Vicky St. Clair is feeling it right now. I know she is.
The third key to confidence is to research and establish options. Now, there's so much information out there. Experts have very conflicting viewpoints. How do we get the confidence to trust our own instinct? How do we get the confidence to sort through all that stuff out there and make the right decision?
Well, the first thing that you need to know is what you need for mental to feel mentally and emotionally powerful and to feel self-esteem? What do you need in your personal life to feel mentally and emotionally powerful and to feel self-esteem? Do you need to make X amount of money? I need to make $150 today. I need to make $300. I need to make $500 today. I need to make $1,000 today. Or I need to have discussions with people that I feel support and interest from me and attentiveness and being listened to. Or I feel like I made progress in my entrepreneurial abilities. I wrote some copy, sent some emails. I asked some people for quotes for my new website. I created graphics that needed to be done so I feel a sense of progress. Whatever it is for you, you have to define what it is you need to feel mentally, emotionally powerful and a sense of self-esteem. Then how do you sift through everything else? Then you begin to look for ways and options and directives that will support you moving yourself in that direction. There are so many quote-unquote experts on the internet. How do you tell what's real? See who endorses them. And if they just have, you know, AP from Keokuk, Iowa, the likelihood is they wrote that themselves. But when they're endorsed by high-profile industry people who thousands, indeed millions of people listen to or read or take advice from on a regular basis, then you know that that person's real. And so if you're going to go on the internet, look for options that fit within what you want. What banks are solvent right now? What banks are stable right now? You can easily look that up. What kind of job opportunities are there for you right now? What kind of entrepreneurial things can you do to create income for yourself that you may need to right now? What kind of advisors, consultants, planners, or some kind of personal information purveyors are there out there that will give you some kind of lead or direction? Make sure you know who you're dealing with. Ask for references, ask for referrals, and if they don't have them or are reluctant to give them to you, then that means that it's just them and they want you to believe them. You can research and then you must find tested, proven people, systems, strategies, and programs that will give you the information you need. And you can do that very effectively. But you first have to define, folks, what it is you need in a way that you can then get specific in terms of, okay, so here are the resources that I think I need to help me implement myself in a way that will produce this result for me. Get specific, and then you can find the answers you need.
Sounds good. Once we've got those three keys, you say then we must focus upon what we have going for us. Sometimes when you're lacking confidence, when you're feeling vulnerable, people can tell you till they're blue in the face that you have a lot going for you and you just can't see it or feel it yourself. How do we overcome that?
Yeah, that's because you're not focused on the you who can, you're focused on the why you think you can't.
Right.
There are two different sides of the fence when it comes to confidence. Those who think that they think about all the bads, all the negatives, all the dilemmas, all the conflicts and problems, and hope that in some way the bad will dissolve or become a non-issue. They think that's what the good is, the absence of the bad, but it's not. Just because you're not sick doesn't mean you're healthy. Just because you're not impoverished doesn't mean you're wealthy. Just because you're not miserable doesn't mean you're happy. You have to really define what good is for you. You say, well, no matter how much they say, you're not going to believe that you're someone who can. Why? Because you're focused on what you can't do and what can't be overcome rather than on the part of you who has in the past, who did brilliantly in the past, and therefore that part of you who is still within you right now. You have to have what's called a paradigm shift, which means you change your focus from what you think are the negatives to what part of yourself can deal with these negatives. When you're thrown in, the people who are on the Titanic when the Titanic was sinking, there were those who fit into that category. Oh, no, I'm going to drown and die. And then there were those who, okay, I'll find something that's floating in the water and I'll hold on and hopefully rescue ships will come. And you know what? Those are the people that survived. Other than the people who found, you know, the women and children who were in the lifeboats, but everybody else, I read an account of that. Those are the people who survived. But you look at that as a metaphor, too. Find something to hold on to float into the ocean of life right now, folks. And just don't wait for the rescue boats to come. Start swimming!
And I want to ask you a question, and I'm not being facetious here, but do you always practice what you teach, Pete. And if you feel lack of confidence yourself, how do you shape yourself up? Because sometimes you can teach this stuff and sometimes forget it yourself.
I never feel that way, Vicky. Mm. I wake up on fire, and then I throw more logs onto it as the day continues. I do, because I just finished a brand new project. It'll be done live this Thursday, called The Top 10 Proven Ways to Skyrocket Good Luck. The website on that is supergoodluck.com, and you can check that out this Thursday. It'll be ready, and it is a blockbuster, incredible program.
Tell us what it's about.
Okay, well, there are 10 specific factors that enable you to not only activate and stimulate good luck in your life, but to strengthen it to such a degree that things start working for you that are currently not. Things start happening for you that you really would like to that are currently not. Assistance, support, things working out for you, things working for you, financial gain, opportunity, things out of the blue, 50 people that have applied for an apartment, including you, and you're the one that gets it, or the job you're looking for. These are the things that you have to have right now. Good luck is essential. But people believe that, well, you can't have good luck because look at the economy. Don't look at the economy. Look after you, who can do something about what's happened to you around you. And these 10 factors are proven and tested, rigorously tested, to produce good luck, strengthened good luck, incredibly strengthened good luck in your life, to where things start going your way and start happening for you. You see, if you do nothing, nothing happens. But when you apply your mind and apply your emotions and apply your will and understanding and your power in the way this incredible program teaches you how to, then good luck starts becoming a decisive, dependable, concrete fact. Say, well, how can you do that? Because good luck is not this mystical thing. I've demystified it. It's not a matter of horseshoes or rabbit's feet or four-leaf clovers. It's a matter of mentality.
Okay.
And this program shows you how to incredibly strengthen and produce and structure the mentality that makes good luck your personal fact.
And tell us the name of that website again, the address.
Supergoodluck.com, supergoodluck.com, and it'll be available fully ready, alive and online this Thursday, and you'll see how many people endorse this. High-profile industry luminaries who endorse this program, because they're using it now with incredible success and incredible results. This is now, I think, one of the most important links between you and what you really need and want to have happen in your life, is stimulating good luck, which means life responding to you in the way you really would like it to. And that's your choice, and indeed your response. Responsibility, and this program shows you how.
Well, we look forward to that. And as always, Pete, I thank you for being with us today and sharing such great information. I'm all revved up and raring to go, even with a night without sleep.
Well, you know what? Things will work out just fine.
Yep.
Your dog
yep.
will be fine. And I really appreciate and thank you for having me on your show. It's always great to be here with you.
Thanks again. And we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Ernest Chu. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Please stay with us.
Looking for new fiction authors? For a different kind of book? For good writing that challenges the mind, the heart, the spirit? Then check out Book Talk Podcasting at 1150kknw.com. Book Talk brings you weekly bite-sized book reviews brought to you by Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. You can listen to Book Talk Podcasts at 1150kknw.com or anytime by downloading them to your MP3 player. If you'd like to try your hand at submitting a review, email info@conversationslive.net for more information. To listen to Book Talk, go to 1150kknw.com and click on podcasting. It's that simple.
Looking for unconditional love, an exercise buddy, or a great listener? Paws has the dog or cat of your dreams, just waiting to meet you. We've made thousands of perfect matches since 1967, because everyone needs a warm, safe place to call home. Find out more today at pause.org or call 425-787-2500.
More talk, less rock. Come on, that's a good thing. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
And welcome back. My next guest is Ernest Chu. He was an investment banker for 35 years, a corporate executive and entrepreneur. He created more than $1.5 billion in market value for his clients and has written over 100 articles for the Wall Street Journal. But he's now a minister and abundance coach, and we want to find out all about that. His new book is called Soul Currency, Investing Your Inner Wealth for Fulfillment and Abundance. Hello, Ernie.
Yeah.
Yeah, hi. So I wanted to start off, Ernie, by talking you start your book out a little by your journey. You were raised by parents who grew up in Shanghai. You grew up in America. You grew up with that good work ethic. But there was that little bit of distrust that you had from your parents. And you talk about a situation that you call the dark night of your soul. And I think with some of the stuff that's happening in the world right now, people can definitely relate to that. You say your greatest apparent failure ultimately led you to discover the power of soul currency. So I wonder if you'd start just by telling us what you mean. What happened to bring you to the dark night of your soul?
Well, the dark night of the soul was one day I had been, I literally woke up and found that my partner at that point, that I had invested a great deal of money and time and so forth in a business, found out that that person had two Social Security numbers and a lot of the so-called background, which we had all had some faith that was true, turned out not to be true. And we had I had arranged for almost $1 million to be invested into the company, and all of a sudden that financing like disappeared. So my dark night of the soul was very similar to what many people are going through today. I couldn't make the mortgage payments on my house. My cash flow ended. It's almost like somebody who got laid off. I had actually done what a lot of people do when they're in business, but I certainly don't recommend they do it, and that is to finance their businesses through their credit cards and so forth. So what happened was that the leverage move moved in reverse, and I basically found myself close to about $1 million in debt. To give you an idea of what that feels like, if you went and got a job and made $150,000 a year, and you could then, after taxes, devote, say, $2,000 a month to pay back your debt, it would take you almost 200 years you'd even make a dent in it.
Right.
So I couldn't file bankruptcy either because I was involved in the finance area, and if I ever wanted to do anything, and obviously some aspect of finance was possibly one of my ways out, then I couldn't declare bankruptcy because I just completely that option wouldn't work.
Right.
So I really went through a very difficult time for about 9 months. I mean, I know what it's like to go through a grocery store and not be able to buy 98% of what I saw. And about the only thing I lived on those days were really these packages of Japanese noodles, the noodles ramen, which at that point were selling for about a nickel a package. And I sort of lived on that for a while, and while I was trying to envision how I was going to turn things around. And one day I discovered that I kept telling myself I don't have anything. I felt really very miserable about things. And once in a while, when I would get an inspiration and I'd find a dollar's worth of change under my car seat that I hadn't looked under before, I'd get really, that would be a good day. So you can imagine, I came a long way from a guy who had been on Wall Street, who had been handling millions of dollars and had become a member of the New York Stock Exchange when I was 25, and mm-hmm. had written the bond column for the Wall Street Journal, and you'd think that I would know better. But it happens to everybody, and It's how you go through it and how you deal with it that really is the key to it.
Right, and it would have knocked a lot of people off their feet, and they would have stayed down. But you actually say that this ultimately led you to the greatest discovery of your life. So tell us how it led to that.
Well, one of the things that I learned one day was as I was starting to ruminate about how to get out of this. And, you know, and when I was talking about, it wasn't just like I'd have a lot of time during the day. My phone was ringing. I'd have 60 people calling me, trying to deal with all the money that I owed, and I'd have huge amounts of dunning mail. Well, I came along and I realized that I did have a lot of assets. You know, I had a good education. I had experience. I knew a lot of people. I had actually been successful. I knew what that felt like. So those seem to be intangibles, but when I really put it out that way and was grateful for what I already had, that was huge because it turned my whole thinking around, and I thought, well, I really got assets, and I'm really thankful for what I have, and I don't have to start from the beginning again. Mm-hmm. I almost thought, oh my God, I have to start all over again. I'm less than all over again because I'm $1 million in the hole. I'd have to make $1 million just to break even. But what I began to realize is I had a lot of assets within me that basically were like a company that had a lot of fixed assets and, you know, I needed to have some cash flow. So I needed to really come up with an idea of saying, okay, let me put those assets to work. Let me start to think about how to do that. And, you know, I write about it in Soul Currency because that's really what is within you. Within you is a medium of exchange, like currency. And in fact, if I have time later on, I'll tell you that it is the only currency because it has created financial currency as well, which is nothing more than agreements and symbols. Financial currency, to a large degree, is based upon confidence and ways that we have dreamed up of measuring things that we've made up. Mm. So in any event, what I came to the conclusion was that I needed to really work on my inner assets. And I started to all of a sudden go toward the things that I knew best, which was how to do financing. And I hooked up with a small company that basically had a lot of the characteristics of some of the things that I had seen as companies that were very successful. But you see, what I did also was at that time was to really clear my mind of worry and start to really look at things within me things that I can do. And one of the things that I could do was I could obviously set my intention, have very positive ways to think about things, because if I worried more about it, all it would do is make me feel worse. And essentially, I at that point, I also began to realize that there was a power greater than I am. And at that point, I figured I had nothing to lose. I might as well call on that.
It's actually perfect that you followed Pete Siegel today, because you are a living example of what he was just talking about having confidence and setting your intention and realizing your strengths, realizing that you have those assets. So even when you've got no financial assets, you've still got this wealth inside of you.
Well, you know, I call those spiritual assets, but some of us call them God-given talents, personal, personal talents, things of that type.
Right, and right.
We take these things for granted.
Let me ask you, what's the connection between spirituality and money?
Well, here's what it is. I mean, the major difference is that we tend to separate those, that money is, you know, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and spirituality is rendering onto God what is God's. But a reverend of mine had a very cute quote. He said, you know, religion is all about not going to hell, and spirituality is for those people who already have been to hell.
I like that.
Yeah. And you know, Really, what it is really becoming more aware that you're just you're more than just a person going through a life looking for meaning, and that there is, you're really surrounded by something much larger. Whether you deny it or not, it's still there, and within you, you have the ability to be able to sense more information that perhaps you can't possibly know in a more linear way. You have character, what people call character qualities, that determination, things of that type, integrity, and those kinds of things are actually make up part of what I call your inner treasure chest. Because you see, when a company is formed, as an example, when Bill Gates started Microsoft, or when J.K. Rowling wrote a book called Harry Potter. Now, that's a pretty good example. Mm-hmm. They didn't really invest that much money in the very beginning. What happened was that they invested what I call their spiritual capital, their ideas. Where did those ideas come from? When they have a thought, where's the thought come from? When they have a vision, who is the visionary? And, you know, it's very clear to me that there is a greater intelligence that really is behind everything. And part of it is that we have to open ourselves to receive it. And so it's not really about being a better person or being more religious or whatever you have, but it is really more about opening up to what is already there in you. And it's also really, there is not the concept of self that we traditionally have. You know, we have this concept especially when we're not feeling very well, that we feel like a lonely self, and that nobody loves us, and so forth and so on. And that's a very disempowering state to come from.
Mm-hmm.
But when you really begin to understand that there isn't any self, that really that self is really, in a sense, activated by spirit in every sense of the word, you know, we become what's, instead of selfless, we become self more, which is to say that we really are expressing that that those gifts that and putting those into a way that we can be supported. So, as an idea, many people have had ideas or talents, and they've been afraid to use it because that would mean having to give up their job or have to work hard or whatever it is. And you know, the question is that they will continue to tell the story about how they really wanted to do this and how they really feel strongly about it. But, you know, this is a perfect time to do it, even though it seems like it's possibly the worst time you could ever have.
Yeah, well,
but there's never been...
I was going to say, there's, you know, there are people who really make it big during times like this. Unfortunately, we're really close to the end of the show, Ernie. So I want to just ask you, if there's one thing you want to leave our listeners with today, what would that be? What do you want them to know for sure?
Well, I would like them to know that that really they should really start to first look at what they have, look at the inner qualities of what they have, look at the strengths of what they have, and be grateful, and not worry about the things that they can't not only do anything about, but these things are reflections of more of a collective consciousness, and that will change as your own consciousness begins to change about how you view the world. So I really think that if people have some trouble about wondering about whether they're good enough to do these things or whether they deserve, then take a little journal and catch yourself every hour and write down two things and do it for a week.
Okay, that sounds good. Sounds good. They can also listen to the first part of the show, too, because we were talking about having confidence in ourselves. I'm sorry to cut you off there, Ernie, but we are at the end of the show today. And I want to let our listeners know that you have Ernie Chu. His name is Ernest D. Chu, has a lot of content on his website. So, Ernie, could you give out your website real quick?
Yeah, the website is www.soulcurrency.org.
Okay, thank you. Soulcurrency.org. The book is called Soul Currency, Investing Your Inner Wealth for Fulfillment and Abundance. I want to thank each of you for being here today. And please join us next Monday at noon for more Conversations Live. Until then, live well, live strong.
You know how you say to yourself, someday I'm going to write a book. Well, now's your chance.
National Novel Writing Month begins November 1st, and Vicky's managed to snag the NaNoWriMo founder to tell us how you can participate. NaNoWriMo brings thousands of professionals and amateur writers together from all over the world. Participate in NaNoWriMo, and maybe next year you'll be promoting your own book on radio shows across the country. Tune in to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair next Monday at noon to kick off National Novel Writing Month.